Welcome to Let's Talk EI with Dr. Hank Clemens. This is an open forum to discuss all things emotional intelligence. So call and share your thoughts and ideas at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Now, here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Well, welcome to Let's Talk EI. Thanks, everyone, for being with us today. Let's Talk EI is a monthly show dedicated to discussing EI and related topics. Today, we have several guests that's going to be speakers at the upcoming third annual SOEI conference. It's going to be held October 19th in Tampa, Florida. The way that I thought that we would approach this is that we are going to have the speakers come on and share just a little bit. We're going to call it a tease. Just a little bit about what they're going to be speaking on at the conference. Just to give you a little bit about who the speakers are or who the guests will be today, we're going to have Chuck Wolf up first, followed by Courtney Abraham, then Susan Freeman, and last but certainly not least, and I'll tell you why a little bit later, we're going to have Katie Zimmer from MHS. SOEI, as you know, is the Society of Emotional Intelligence, and it's the only professional association in North America dedicated really to having people talk about or share information around emotional intelligence. Sometimes we get questions about what is emotional intelligence. Well, one of the guests that we have today will give us a little bit more on that, so I'm not going to take away any of his thunder, but I am going to say to you out there that if you're interested in getting involved, go to our website. It's societyofei.org. That's societyofei.org, and become a member. You can also go to our conference page and register for the conference also. But, as I said, someone's going to be sharing some information about emotional intelligence and just what it is. And that someone is going to be Chuck Wolf. Charles Wolf is the principal of Charles J. Wolf Associates. He's a writer. He's written a number of books, and he's a radio talk show. He has a radio talk show called The Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel, and it's broadcast on WPKN the fourth Saturday of each month, and Chuck is going to share a little more information on that. He's a recognized expert and co-creator of the Mesquite Certification Program for MHS. For those of you that don't know the Mesquite, it's the Mayor Salove Caruso Emotional Intelligence Test. Chuck has worked with top companies, elected government representatives, military, and other nonprofits, and have made presentations to highly regarded colleges and universities throughout the country. Particular companies are colleges like Harvard, MIT, Yale, and Wharton. I'm curious, though, about this emotion roadmap. I've heard a lot about it. Peeked at it a little bit, but I want to get it straight from Chuck. So, Chuck, good morning and welcome. What is the emotion map, and how can it be used to help people to improve how they manage their own emotions and their relationship with others?
Hi, Hank. Thanks for having me as a guest. The emotion roadmap was an idea that came from my initial work with Peter Salove, who is the currently the provost at Yale University, Jack Mayer, who's a professor of psychology at the University of New Hampshire, and David Caruso, who is also working at Yale today, but also a management consultant. And these three people were the real pioneers in emotional intelligence. By real, I mean they were the original people that coined the term that was used in the 1990s and first published before Dan Goleman published his book that kind of made it all famous. But they discovered that there was emotions, emotional abilities that are different. Just like if you think about our analytic abilities, some people are good at math, at spatial relationships, at verbal understanding different kinds of abilities and emotions is similar in the sense that we have abilities to identify how people are feeling, identify how we're feeling ourselves. We have certain abilities to use emotions. And this is a fascinating concept I'll say more about in a minute. Understand emotions and manage emotions. And our abilities are different. And why that's important is because when we think about this, we almost always, I think, take the tack, Hank, that people who are not getting along with us are doing it on purpose somehow, that it's an attitudinal issue. Years ago, I used to be a therapist, and I remember dealing with some husbands and wives, and it wasn't all that unusual for a wife to feel that a husband wasn't really understanding how she felt, wasn't getting how she felt. Does that sound familiar at all? I mean, this is not an unusual piece of information.
Yes, I think that's one of the things that often happens. One feels that the other one doesn't understand what the other one is doing or talking about.
And they almost always feel like the person isn't trying hard enough. And what if you understood that the person, if you were able to assess their abilities to identify emotions, there's several ways that we get emotional input. One is we get emotions by what we see. We just look at people and we think we know how they feel. We also have in our gut a feeling about how someone's feeling. You know, it's not verbal, it's just kinesthetic. We feel it. And what happens is that we get data from these two sources, and some people, if you understand the concept of abilities, some people are really low in those abilities. So if they have poor ability to sense what another person's feeling, to see what another person's feeling, they really can't get nonverbal signals from somebody else about how they're feeling. So the husband may be trying and unable. And if you know it's an ability issue instead of an attitudinal issue, the whole thing changes in terms of how you feel about it. It's kind of like we've accepted learning disabilities and in understanding why some people struggle with certain ways of learning that are commonplace to most other people.
Right.
What if you understood the concept of emotional disabilities and people have them and they make a difference? That's just one way of thinking about this. What I find so unique in this model was that Mayer and Salovey were able to construct an instrument, an assessment that measured your abilities. You can actually learn how well you do in each of these areas, what your potential ability is to identify, use, understand, and manage emotions. Why that's important is because if you know that if you don't know certain things about yourself, they're blind spots, and you can learn about them, you can understand why you might struggle in certain places that other people don't have problems with. When I looked at the work that they were doing, they asked me to come and help them to find some ways to make what they were doing in laboratories and research operational, to find some way to make it practical. And the outgrowth of that was this emotion roadmap. This roadmap basically is simply saying, like a roadmap that says, I think you're in Tampa, Hank, I guess. I'm in Tampa. I'm trying to get to Tampa so I can be a speaker at the conference. So I'm going to fly, but if I was to drive, what way would I drive? How would I get from one place to another? The concept of an emotion roadmap is how do I get from one feeling to another? For instance, if you've ever had the experience in the workplace or in life where you've trusted someone and they've betrayed you and you want to trust them again, that's the longest journey emotionally that anyone can take, in my opinion, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, it does. Now, will you be able to, and I know that this is probably a multi-day workshop within itself, but will you be able to, let's say the folks at the conference, will they be able to kind of get a peek at or maybe experience a little of that?
Well, I want to talk about it in terms of leadership, because while I think of it as a life skill, being able to be more intelligent about how you manage your emotions. I'd say something about a definition. I think while there are many different definitions out there and a bit of confusion in terms of the field itself sometimes, for me it's pretty straightforward. It's the ability to identify, use, understand, and manage your own emotions, your emotional relationships with others, and the emotions of others. So identify, understand, use, and manage your own emotions first. Can you manage your own stuff? Can you impact your relationships with others? And can you actually help another person to feel a different way? And I believe all that's possible. And the emotion roadmap, I can talk about in just a few minutes, which is simply to say, very quickly, I can tell all the listeners today, it's basically when you feel something isn't quite right, and I find that when smart people are stuck, it's almost always because something emotional is going on, either inside of them or with somebody else. And as soon as you begin to get an inkling of that, you can say, okay, how am I feeling, and how is this other person that's key to whatever I'm doing feeling? What would be ideal to feel, which is the use of emotion? How do I get from what is, what I am feeling, to what would be more ideal to feel, which is understanding emotion? And managing emotion is, which are the possible scenarios or strategies that I'm considering for moving from one feeling to another would actually be something I'm able to do and willing to do? And that's the emotion roadmap. Now, it sounds simple, but it's extremely profound in terms of the depth of what actually has to happen to make it work.
Oh, so I would imagine.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I would imagine it is very, and that's why it's a roadmap. I mean, if it was just something that was easy as 1, 2, 3, we probably all could do it, but evidently we don't all do it very well, and so having a roadmap helps us get there.
Absolutely. So I think when you look at can I teach it in an hour's time or so, I absolutely present it, offer some cases, present some very familiar scenarios to people. Just as an example, Hank, most companies spend a lot of time and money doing once a year, particularly big companies, once a year, once every couple of years, a survey of the culture, of the morale in an organizational setting.
Right.
Since engagement is such a big issue, for most companies, I think Gallup has statistics that say really only 20% of almost every big company has fully engaged employees. And if that means that 80% aren't fully engaged, even if you're hitting your financial objectives, I got to believe you're leaving money on the table when 80% of your workforce isn't doing everything they could to support you.
Absolutely.
And that's an emotional issue. So for me, it's like, why would you wait till once a year? Wouldn't you want every supervisor constantly monitoring the emotions of the people that work for them? So when something's wrong, they don't wait for a survey to tell them a year later. They're actually on top of it, and they're addressing those issues. And by the way, emotional intelligence to me isn't about being nice, and that's, I think, a misconception people have about, you know, everybody thinks it's a soft skill, it's about being nice. It's really about being smart about emotions. Dan Goleman says that all the time. It's being more intelligent about emotions, how you use emotions, how you understand your own emotions, how you handle your own emotions, how you handle emotions in conflict, how you handle emotions in feedback, how you handle emotions in any difficult setting where emotions kind of rise to the forefront. Some people used to say you want to leave emotions at the doorstep when you first walk into the workplace. And everybody knows that's impossible, but yet we still try to maintain that facade that we don't feel things in the workplace. It's all about being rational. And, Hank, if it was all about being rational, you and I wouldn't be having this phone call this afternoon.
That's right. Hey, Chuck, you have a radio show around emotions. We probably have about a minute or two left. Can you just give our listeners a little bit about that show and how they can tune in and maybe check out your show?
Sure. Thanks, Hank. Actually, my show used to be on Saturdays. It's now on, they like my show, fortunately, so it's now on 3 times a month on Wednesdays from 12 noon to 1 p.m. I usually, on the first 2 Wednesdays of every month, have a call-in show. So anyone that calls in with any kind of, you know, issue, emotional challenge that they face, I talk to them about how to use this emotion roadmap to address their issue in real time. And I'm very good at cutting through all the content to get right to the emotion, and actually have been very helpful to people. And I'll be presenting a couple of those cases at the conference when I come there. Actually, live conversations on the radio. And in an occasional case, I've had people call back and tell me how well what I've suggested works. So that's very meaningful to me, because I'm always trying to make a difference for folks. The way that they can listen is it's for people that don't live in the Bridgeport, Connecticut surrounding area. It can be listened to streaming on live on Wednesdays from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time at www.wpkn.org. So you can listen online, or if you're in the area, 89.5 FM. That's how you can listen to the show. By the way, Hank, just one other thing I'd like to correct. Most of my business is I'm an executive coach, and I'm working with leadership development. And on the last Wednesdays of the month, I typically will have an interview. And one of the interviews I plan on playing is with a fabulous chief executive officer of something called HCL Industries, a multi-billion dollar multinational company, who has written a book and had a Harvard Business Review article talking about employees first, customers second. It's a wonderful treatise on why it's a business strategy to really value your employees and keep morale high, particularly when they have reason to interface with your customers on a regular basis.
Well, fantastic, Chuck. Thanks so much for spending time with us this morning. I really appreciate you being a guest on Let's Talk EI. And I don't know about the rest of you folks out there, but I'm looking forward to hearing and sitting down with Chuck at the upcoming third annual SOEI conference. So, Chuck, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Hank. Take
care. It's time to take a short break, but stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this. Mm-hmm.